Okay, here we are, Mother's Day, 2019. Special days, they're fun to have. You know what's a special day today also is? Bill Ballard turned 60 years old today. Bill, congratulations, you made it. All right. I asked him what he was going to do for his birthday, and he says, well, it's raining outside, so I'm just going to sit back and enjoy steak and potatoes. So we love you guys. We're so much thankful that you've been a part of our fellowship for a long, long time. Yeah, Mother's Day, special days. I'm glad there are special days. We celebrate a lot of them here. Father's Day is not too far down the road. We honor our dads. You remember the one year that I tried something new with the Father's Day? You know, the moms, they get a potted plant. And the guys come with their day on Father's Day and never got anything. And one year I changed that, and I bet you no one ever remembered it. This was about 20 years ago. What did they give them?
Fourth and Gold, a little devotional.
I did that too? Okay. Oh, no, I could have done that, but I remember doing something a little special like a plant. So I gave each one of you guys a candy bar. Yeah, you remember that. I know Glenwood, he loves his sweets, you know, so. But that didn't seem to go over that well, so I just dropped the idea. But anyway, yeah, special days, birthdays, holidays, and they're good to have. They're hard sometimes when you have a Mother's Day, when you've lost a loved one. It's hard sometimes to celebrate when you have serious sickness ongoing in your own life or the life of your family members. But it's also wonderful to know we have a Savior who knows our every need. He can minister to us in times of blessing as well as in times of testing and difficulty. So those of you who are struggling a little bit for whatever reason, we bear you up in prayer and we trust that the Lord will just meet your needs even on this day. You know, when I first came here 28 years ago, when we arrived from Dubuque, Iowa, to take up our work here at Kenilworth Gospel Chapel, I wasn't really given a job description. One of the things was going to be to work with young people, with children. But I decided the first task that I would undertake was to make an effort to visit all of the senior citizens, all those that were 65 and over. Somehow I felt like if I can get them on my team, if I can get their friendship and their commitment, their involvement, and you know, it would be good to have. So I remember going to different homes. And I'll never forget the one home that just popped into my mind this morning. Some of you may remember Dot Keppel. Remember Dot? Is that a last name, Keppel or Koppel? Kepler, yeah. Yeah. Well, she had lived in Cranford. I can remember going down to her house and knocking on the door, and I was going to go in and just, you know, have a little pastoral visit, you might call it, just to introduce myself. And after several interactions and questions, she finally stopped me. She says, "You sure ask a lot of personal questions, don't you?" Uh-oh, what did I do? You know, I said, I better just keep quiet and say, well, I'll tell you what, let's just have a word of prayer and I'll be on my way. I don't know what she meant by that, but I guess I was asking. I didn't ask what she had for breakfast or things like that. But I just asked her, you know, where she came from and what her background was. Just getting to know her, but I guess she thought it was too personal, so I wasn't able to continue that. But today is Mother's Day, so I'm going to do two major texts to look at. We're going to look at the New Testament text and look at some names of some women that were used of the Lord. And then we're going to go back into the Old Testament to take a look at that famous chapter that we've looked at before in Proverbs chapter 31. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy. And in order to do justice to my main point in these verses in chapter in 2 Timothy, just a little background material to this particular book. It might help us to set the setting and understand what's going on here. But if you were to take the time to read all four chapters, you would realize that Paul, who wrote this letter, was nearing the end of his life. This was probably his last penned letter, AD 67, to Timothy, his young child in the faith, a young man that he had discipled. And so this was the end of his time of service here. He knew that his time of departure was close at hand. He knew that his life was going to be taken from him in due time. And so he writes a letter to Timothy because while Paul was struggling with health issues, there was also a greater battle going on, a spiritual battle in the hearts and lives of many, many people at that time. There was a lapse back into legalism. There was apostasy setting in. And there was great concern on the part of the church leaders, especially Paul, that people like Timothy and others that Paul had influence, and others that Timothy had influence, that they would be strong in their faith, that they would be able to confront those that taught heresy, and so on and so forth. So 2 Timothy was written with that in mind. The purpose was to outline a true course of behavior of a true follower of Jesus Christ, which would include all of you that we recognize as moms today. Mother's Day is a day that we can include everyone. All of us who are believers, we're servants of the living God. We've come to faith in Christ, and he's given us a challenge to live for him and to know his word. So this letter was written to those that were followers of Jesus Christ, not only those that were involved in pastoral ministries, not only those that were church leaders, but the everyday run-of-the-mill that were Christians, those that took their stand for the Lord, that they would be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So Timothy has been encouraged here to use what God had given to him, that Paul had laid his hands on him some time ago, and to use all of the divine resources that were at his disposal to make a powerful witness for the Lord. Chapter 1, it just simply says this. I want to read verse 3 in particular, and then tie this in with some very important people. Paul says, "I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy." And then verse 5 I've underlined as one of my key texts for this morning. "For I'm mindful," this is Paul speaking still, "for I'm mindful of the sincere or unhypocritical faith within you." And notice the next line, "which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, because the Lord, the God, has not given us a spirit of timidity, of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind," or discipline. One of the things that you see here in these verses are relational things taking place. Paul's love and his prayers for Timothy, his young son in the faith. You know, I was thinking about that verse, just meditating on it this past week, and just wanted to encourage all of us to come alongside one another as much as we possibly can and encourage them. George Mackenzie read a nice little paraphrase of some verses of Scripture, that we love one another, and that we care for one another, that we reach out to one another. And I think of the amount of time that Paul spent with other people, investing his life in the lives of people like Timothy. And Timothy was to carry on the torch. Paul is passing on the baton. And the life goes on. The challenges continue. And Timothy needs to be strong in the Lord and the power of his life. Not to be having the spirit of fear, of timidity, but of power and of love and of a strong mind and self-discipline. But it also had a lot to do with the influence that Timothy had while he was growing up. And with that in mind, just flip over to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, just for a moment there. Look at verse 15. Look what this says here. "And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." That from childhood. And then that very famous verse in verse 16. "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, thoroughly equipped for every good work." The role of Scripture in Timothy's life, how vital and how important that was. I don't know how that happened. I don't know what they did for devotions in the morning. I don't think they had keys for kids back then. I don't think they had devotional materials, but they must have done something with the Scriptures that they had. And a grandmother and a mother would sit down with their grandchildren. Timothy was one, and he was taught the Scriptures. That's what Paul said, "and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings." Now, we take no credit in and of ourselves. It's all of God, and to Him be the glory. But I certainly am thankful this morning for being married to a godly woman, a godly wife, and a godly mother. She's been phenomenal. The way that she raised her children, much more so than my involvement, because I was away so much traveling all the time. I'd say she was instrumental in teaching, I think Greg would agree, teaching and training her children the things of the Lord. Bible studies, devotionals, prayer in the morning before going to school. And I don't know how much of that happens today. I don't know how much of that still goes on in homes today of Christians. But it's never too late to change if it's not. It should make an effort to take the time to sit down with your kids as they grow up and to read the scriptures with them and to teach them the way of God. Paul recognizes that from a childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith. The inspiration of scripture. These verses point out that what we believe is God-inspired. They're breathed out, the very words of scripture. These are not just fairy tales. They're not made up Christmas stories. And this is God's word, God's truth. It's inspired by God. It's profitable. It's profitable for instruction, for reproof, for training in righteousness, that the man of God, the woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good deed. So you go back to chapter 1 again in the first verses that we read. Paul certainly had confidence in Timothy. He calls to mind here, again, Timothy's unfeigned faith and how genuinely real that it was. No hypocrisy or make-believe sham. Paul was persuaded with full confidence that the same genuine faith which resided in his mother and his grandmother also resided in him. That must have given Paul great comfort and consolation to know that he had a part in that too. He had a part in teaching Timothy. He called him his young child in the faith. Paul calls Timothy his dearly beloved son or child, showing a deep affection for this true child in the faith. How does he show his interest in Timothy? Well, it's revealed here in these verses by his constant prayer for his behalf. I think that's what I need to shore up on in my prayer life. Again, I mentioned my wife. She's not here. She's down in the nursery, so I'm not going to embarrass her. But when she has her prayer time in the morning, she has a stack of cards with people's names on them. Names that go back a long time. Names that go back to people that she's prayed for all these years. Every morning, she goes over those lists. All of our high school students, all of our college students, all of our missionaries. And that's what God has placed in her heart, a desire to pray for others in the body of Christ here. And I would encourage all of us to do that more often. And maybe you do. Maybe you have those quiet times. And you are becoming dearly close connected with other people here. And if they're not just a name that you see or a person they're leaving the chapel on a Sunday morning, but you got to actually know them. It's really discouraging sometimes when I talk with people who have been here for a long, long time and they still don't know. They still don't know everybody's name. They've been going here for 20 years and they just know a handful of people. Why is that? We need to reach out, and I'm talking to myself too, to reach out and get to know people and embrace them and tell them that we're interested in them. And I know a lot of you do that. I can name names of people and I won't, but there are those that here that set a good example to that, both men and women. But Timothy must have been thankful for Paul's relationship that he had with him. He was dearly loved and he knew it. And that would fill Paul with joy. You see that in verse 4 there. And this is one of the great friendships of Scripture. This is one of the great friendships of Scripture, Paul and Timothy. And we thank God that they had that friendship because of two women that took the initiative to lead their families, Eunice and Lois. We don't know much about them later on in Scripture. We don't hear much about their names mentioned again. But there are other great friendships of Scripture, David and Jonathan. There are those that really were close to one another because of a like precious faith that they shared in the Lord Jesus and a desire to just give of themselves and to impart them to them the word of the truth. And Paul had confidence in Timothy. See that in verse 5. He calls to mind Timothy's unfeigned faith. That word unfeigned means unhypocritical. It was not sham. It was not for show. His faith was real and genuine. And Paul noticed that. It was no make-believe sham. He was persuaded with full confidence that the same genuine faith which resided in his mother and grandmother was present in Timothy also. Flip over to chapter 4 just for a moment of 2 Timothy before we switch gears here and look at an Old Testament example of a woman of valor, a woman that was worthy of our praise. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is the last part of Paul's life as he comes to the end of life. And he's reminiscing about all of the people that had a profound impact on his life. But he's also giving warnings of those that were not faithful, did not stand up with him. And I want to start reading at verse 9 there. He's making a plea here. He says, make every effort to come to me soon. This is going out to Timothy. This is going out to those that he's worked with. Make every effort to come to me soon. And then he starts mentioning names. For Demas, having loved this present world system, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Demas, having loved this present world, caught up in the things of this world, and soon grow cold in heart towards the Lord. Don't let that happen to you. And help me not let that happen to me. That I'll have a love that's burning hot for the Lord. A number of years ago, Bill McDonald, the president of Emmaus, wrote me a letter when I was a student at Taylor University. And I thought I was acting very spiritually minded, and I wrote to him and said I was dating at the time before I met my wife-to-be. I was dating a girl named Sally. Sally and I were dating, and we were talking about going to the mission field. And I said, you know what, Mr. McDonald, I think I'm dropping out of school, and I'm going to go to the mission field and serve the Lord, thinking that would really please him. And he wrote me a letter back, and he says, Don, you need to stay in school and get your degree. There'll be plenty of time for that later. And I took his advice. I took his advice and got my degree, finally, and was able to fulfill that dream, but not with that girl, with someone else, even better, to serve the Lord overseas for those years that we were in Spain. But I think about the fact that I knew this man loved me, and he had enough interest in me to give me advice and counsel. And I hope that you have that kind of teachable heart. I didn't always have a teachable heart. Sometimes I was very resistant to that, and I was stubborn. Don't tell me what to do. I know what I have to do. This kind of reminds me of my other son, Rob, when he was younger. Greg can identify with this. I think he was about 10 or 11 years old, maybe 12. We were out in the backyard of our house in Cranford, and we had a basketball hoop. So I told Rob, I said, Rob, let me show you a few things about basketball. Let me teach you. He said, Dad, I know it all. I don't need to be taught. He thought he knew everything about basketball. So I said, well, you think you know everything, huh? Well, let me see. So we did a little one-on-one. I took him to task, and I beat him pretty badly. I said, no, you let me have some easy baskets. You weren't guarding me like you should have. He finally realized that he didn't know everything and that he could learn something from me. So when we have a teachable heart, we can go a long ways with it. And basketball is not that important. But the issues of life are really important, to be able to listen to the advice of elders and shepherds of God's people and to put into practice the things that they're teaching us. Demas, he just deserted Paul. Don't be a deserter. Oh, my goodness. How many people I know that love the Lord with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind, and today they're shipwrecked. Why does it have to happen? It hurts me greatly to know that, dear friends, people that I looked up to, they just grew cold in heart and just wandered and drifted, and they just went worldly in their thinking and their thoughts and their character. You be like Timothy. Stay faithful to the Lord all the days of your life. Then he mentions, well, Demas, having loved this present world, he deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Then Crescens, gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. And pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me in the service. And then he talks about the faithfulness of those that stood by him, including the Lord. Verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me in order that I that through the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear that I will be delivered out of all of the lion's mouth. The unfaithfulness of different people that had let him down was rewarded by his experiencing God's faithfulness, verses 17 and 18 that we read. The Lord stood with Paul and strengthened him. And this apparently strengthened him and secured his own acquittal and further ministry that he had for many years to come. His life was not yet to be taken at that point. And God delivered him out of the mouth of the lion, probably referring to the Roman emperor at that time. And then he gives his closing salutation. But my whole focus as I wrap up this part of the message on 2 Timothy is that there were two women who were honoring moms on Mother's Day. There were two women that took the initiative and took the time to teach and by example live out the Christian life before Timothy as a young child. And we need to do that even if it's too late with the children. We have grandchildren. We had two of our grandkids down last night. Ezra and Jude spent the night with us. We had a great time with them and have devotions with them at nighttime. Kellen comes over in the afternoon. She has a good time just hanging out with us. She loves to play racco. I don't know how to play racco yet. She's going to teach me one of these days. But we play Uno together. And then we just simply talk about the Lord very, very naturally and be able to influence them towards godly things. And you as grandparents and as moms, what a tremendous privilege you have to reach out to your children and to teach them the way of the Lord. Don't be intimidated. Don't be afraid. Don't be saying, I don't really know too much about this myself. Well, get to know it. You can read your Bible and pray every day, and you can grow as a Christian yourself. Now, that was New Testament. I got my Old Testament Bible right down here, and I want to get that out now. Turn with me to the Old Testament, to the book of Proverbs chapter 31. We looked at this a number of years ago, but since then I've done some more thinking about this particular chapter and this ideal woman. It talks about a woman of great value. And I was looking at the introduction here to Lemuel, who was the king. Little is known about Lemuel except that he was a king who received wise teaching from who? His mother. That's why I thought about that. That's the main reason why I thought about this particular illustration that God gave to us in the Word, the book of Proverbs. That this woman taught her son what it means to be devoted to God. In fact, that's what his name meant. Lemuel meant devoted to God. Some believe that he and Agar were both from the kingdom of Massa in northern Arabia. A little historical trivia background question. Sometimes people get into that, and once in a while I do too. I love history. Like John is going to take my wife and I over to the Museum of Modern Art. No. Modern, what is that one we're going to? Which one? Metropolitan of Art. And he says you can learn a lot of history there. So we're going to go over there one day in a couple of weeks and have a chance to tour that place. But some believe that this king was from Massa in northern Arabia. And you know, if we read through the book of Proverbs, all 31 chapters, it has a lot to do and say about women. And how fitting that the book would end with a picture of a woman of strong character. Look at these four descriptions that I came up with. Strong character, great wisdom, many skills, and great compassion. If you were to take those four descriptive terms of this woman that's going to be described as an ideal, it's not something that every woman can emulate. You can't be like that woman 100%. You don't have enough hours in your day to be like that woman. But you can emulate her example. It's like Paul said, imitate me as I imitate the Lord. He could say that to those Christians. Imitate me. Follow my faith. Follow my example. I can't really say that in all honesty to you. I can't say to you, follow my example, because I'm not always pleased with my example. But Paul, he could say that, and Timothy was to listen to that. He could follow his example. And Proverbs has a lot to say about women. And this one in particular that's described in chapter 31 talks about strong character, great wisdom, many skills, and great compassion. Think about those four things and other things that we're going to look at. Some people have the mistaken idea that the ideal woman mentioned in Proverbs 31 is someone who is retiring, servile, entirely domestic. But guess what? She's not that way. This woman is an excellent wife and mother. Listen to the ways that the verses describe her skills and her talents and her abilities. She's a manufacturer, an importer, a manager, a realtor, a farmer, a seamstress, an upholsterer, a merchant. But the key is that her strength and dignity did not come from her amazing talents. This is really important to get. It did not come from her amazing talents. They are a result of her reverence for God. You look at chapter 30 and verse 30, 31, 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. There are two other verses that strike this very hard. Verse 1, chapter 7 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And then Proverbs 9:10, listen to this one. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of not knowledge, but wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." This is how you get to know God in a more personal way. Is going to the Old Testament? Yes. And looking at these Proverbs, and looking at how this woman demonstrated her wisdom, the wisdom that she had in her God. And these were sort of a composite portrait of this woman, of womanhood in general. But do not see her as a model to imitate in all of these details. Your days, as I said, are not long enough to put into practice all that she was able to accomplish. But she's an inspiration. She's an inspiration for us to be all that we can be. Whether you're a mom on Mother's Day, or a dad on Father's Day coming up, or just every day of your life. Be all that you can be with the talents and the abilities that God has given to you. He's blessed us with abilities and gifts, spiritual gifts and talents. You remember my using the example of years ago of the book that my grandmother, who's now well past with the Lord, she would have been about 120 now. My grandmother was a very godly woman. Well, tiny thing, she's about this tall. Powerful woman, though. Powerful in prayer. So was her husband, my grandpa. They would get up every morning at 4:30. Together, they would get down on prayer mats by their bed. And they would pray for all of their children and all of their grandchildren. I have 26 cousins on my dad's side of the family. And I knew that every day my grandmother and grandfather were praying for us. What a tremendous example that was. So she did all that she could do to be an example to her family. You can never be like this woman here. It's an ideal, it's a composite of a woman that accomplished many things in her life. But the key is to be what you can be and give God the glory for that. The book begins with the command to fear the Lord and ends with a picture of a woman who fulfills this command. Her qualities are mentioned throughout the book. We've looked at some already. Hard work, fear of God, respect for our spouse. If you're not sure where these all are found, they're all found in these verses. You take the time to read, and I wasn't going to do that because it's a long chapter. But you read the entire chapter, and you'll see these qualities coming out in her life that can come out in our life as well with God's help. These are things that were instruments that were helpful to her. These qualities, when coupled with the fear of the Lord, leads to enjoyment, success in life, honor, and worth. Proverbs is a very practical book today because it shows us how to become wise and make good decisions and live according to God's ideal. God wants us to be uniquely gifted. There's a verse in the Bible, and I'm going to turn to it now. If you go back to, I think it's the Gospel of Matthew. Let me see if I can find it here quickly. That's what I get for making too many notes. Here it is. Matthew 5:16. How to be a person of great value? Well, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. See, we show and demonstrate Christian character in our lives by allowing the light of Jesus Christ to shine forth from our lives day by day. When you let your light shine, Christ's goodness is evident to all by the way you speak and live and others were drawn to him to glorify him. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When I looked at this chapter a number of years ago, there were certain things that stood out in my mind about this particular woman here. She made the most of each day that she had. She got up early each morning, made the most of each day that God gave to her. She knew that life was a gift from God, her Creator. Each and every day that we have is a precious gift, a gift that we can use to honor Him. She made the most of each day. I'm finding now that I've sort of refocused, to use that term, not retired, just refocused, just the shifting of responsibilities. But I'm finding now that I have a little more time to sit back and watch ESPN or the channel, the Yankee station. Yes. And I'm finding myself saying, you know what? I could just sit here all day and watch the Yankees win at game after game after game. Football is going to start. Yeah, it's going to be a different year for the Giants this year. Different game for the Dolphins, Redskins. Right, Mark? It's going to be a different year. You know, I could spend my whole life talking about it, just enjoying sports, but I got to be careful. That's not making the most of each day. It really isn't. I got a certain amount of time to enjoy those kinds of things, but then there are things that need to be done. You know, I still have a desire to visit different people. I know I'm not acting as an elder anymore here. I've stepped aside because that was the right time. It was just sort of like the routine here. When you turn 75, it was an idea to pass the baton on to others. You know, so I'm passing the baton on. But that doesn't mean I've lost the pastoral heart. It doesn't mean I've lost a desire to fellowship here and be a part of this fellowship. I do. And there are things I need to get back on track again, to do a little more visitation and praying. That's one thing I can spend much more time on, prayer for the needs of this assembly. We pray for Helen every day, but we did pray for other people every day too. And just bring them before the Lord. And then we noticed this woman was a willing, cheerful worker. Even though she had maybe servants, she was not afraid to do the work herself. She wasn't lazy. She needed something to be done. She did it with a cheerful heart, verse 15. She learned the importance of serving others, verse 14. She was unselfish. She spent much time on others. She did the family shopping with care. She oversaw the cooking, caring for those in her family. She was really showing God-like character. Even though God gets all the credit, she was doing the work. God was giving her the strength to do what she had to get done. Always speak with kindness. This was a woman that had that kind of kindness. And look at verse 12 and verse 26. I've underlined these verses. Verse 12 and 26, well, especially verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of what? Law of kindness. Kindness. The virtuous woman not only did kind things, she always spoke kindly about others. We could learn to trust her. And someone once said, when you show responsibility by using resources wisely and working each hard each day, others will trust you, and you'll earn greater freedom in the days and weeks and months ahead. This woman of value, this woman of great worth, the virtuous woman is often called, she discovered her God-given abilities, and she developed them and used them in a very creative way. She understood what her talents were, and she put them to good use. God gives each of us special abilities. I got off the track with my grandmother before mentioning in the book that she gave me was, you have a talent, don't bury it. Just think about the gifts that God's given to you. A spiritual gift, at least one, if not more than one. And then just basic talents and abilities. You're gifted in many areas I couldn't come close. Bill Ballard comes over and he puts in a sound system here. He knows how to do all kinds of, I can't do that kind of stuff. So you use your talents and your abilities, whether it's in a physical realm or a spiritual realm. You do what you can to honor the Lord day by day. Use your God-given abilities, develop them, and use them for Him. And give to those in need. Even though busy, this virtuous woman noticed people in need and reached out to help them. She knew that God had blessed her so that she could share with others. Do you know people in need? How could you share with them what God has given to you? I love it when people share with us blessings I'll put her on the spot, but she does it almost every week. Mary Moeller, she leaves a special plate of cookies in the office for the workers that go in the office. Well, I'm still a worker, and I go into the office, so I get to have one. I'm stretching it a little bit. But, you know, she thinks about us. And we don't get out to the coffee break, perhaps, and so we get special service in the office. And there are lots of things that we can do for one another, whether it's that kind of ministry or just reaching out and lending a hand. Helping out where we need help setting up tables for the missionary meeting. And Jack's going around trying to get people, you know, volunteer. Get downstairs. I know many of you do. Set the tables up and do that for the Lord. Well, include God in every part of your day. I'll close with this. This woman would work so hard and be so kind and unselfish day after day because she feared the Lord. To fear the Lord means to understand that God is with us all the time. It means to live each day showing reverence to Him and relying on Him for help. And when you fear the Lord, you will want to please Him. So you need to ask Him for help to forgive your sins. 1 John 1:9, keep your life clean, help your life to shine brightly for Him, and let His beautiful character be seen in your life. The fruit of the Spirit being demonstrated in a very remarkable way in our lives will bring glory and honor to the Lord. And you too can become a person of great value. Remember I said that this is just a composite picture. There's no way in the world that you can apply all of these things to your life, but do the best you can with His help. I can do all things through Christ, Paul said, who gives me the strength. So think about some of those words that I use. There was one point there that I failed to give. That's pretty important too, is in our society where physical appearance counts for so much, it may surprise you to realize that her appearance is never mentioned once. Her attractiveness comes entirely from her character and not her physical appearance. It's nice to look good on the outside. Yes, it is. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. It's nice to be well-dressed. It's nice to have nice clothes on. But just always keep in mind, this woman never once mentioned about her physical attractiveness. Never one mention. Talked about her character. And that was described by all those different words that I mentioned. So this may be an encouragement to all of us, especially the moms that are here today. Don't forget your potted plant on the way out. We love you. We're glad you're part of our fellowship. And we'd love to see each one of you take more of an active role in our assembly. We have a communion service every Sunday morning, the breaking of bread at 9:30 for believers, for those that have trusted Christ as their Savior. If that's you, then it's not really an option. It really isn't. It commanded, this do in remembrance of me. Come and join with us as we break bread together right here. It's for believers. Those that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, come back and give Him praise and worship and thanksgiving. It's your responsibility. And there are other ways to touch base. Check out a small group. There's a small group that meets at the Hovinger home every other week. Small group here Wednesday, every other Wednesday night. Ladies Bible study every Tuesday. You can take advantage of these things and become a greater light for your Savior. Let your light so shine that they may glorify your Father that's in heaven. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the folks that are here today. We pray that you would encourage each one of us. We pray, Lord, that we might allow the light to shine forth freely from our lives. That we would become people of great value to you. We know, Lord, that we just simply acknowledge our need of you. Our sufficiency is of you. You're the one that gives us the abilities and talents, but you leave it up to us to utilize them, to exercise them, to put them into practice. You're not going to coerce us or force us. So, Lord, help us to have a teachable spirit, a receptive heart. Help us to be good moms, those of us that fit that category. Help us to be an example to our children and our grandchildren, that we can pray for them every day. We can be an example before them. We pray for Bill on his birthday today. We thank you for him. I pray for others that are celebrating special events these days. I pray for those that are still grieving the loss of loved ones. Even though time has elapsed, the hurt is still there. We just pray, Lord, that you administer to their needs and those that are going through serious illnesses. for those that are recovering from operations. Thank you again for bringing George and Keith safely, successfully through their cataract surgery. We are grateful for all of these things, Lord. And so we're thankful and pray your blessing on us as we depart now. Help us to enjoy our day with our loved ones and our families. And again, thanking you for our moms and what they mean to us. In your wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.